Well, right now we go to Israel, to Shiloh, and that is in the center part of the state. It's a very interesting community. It's a Jewish community in the location historically where the Ark of the Covenant rested in the tabernacle that was there for many, many years. And Winky Madad is joining us. He is a longtime broadcast partner with us. He is a amateur archaeologist. He's been working with the guys out there at the site of the ancient tabernacle dating back 3,500 years ago. And Winky, as I understand it, I've got some other things I want to talk about, but as I understand it, this last week, a group of women, I think somewhere in the neighborhood of about 3,000, gathered there to pray. Is that correct?
Actually, the number reached about 3,300. Month before the Jewish festival of the New Year, what we call Rosh Hashanah, is usually called the month of requesting forgiveness and supplications. The Sfaradim, the Jews from, shall we say, Arab countries or the Mediterranean countries, usually do it the entire month, and those of Ashkenazi descent, those more from Europe, will do it in the week before the Rosh Hashanah festival. And we've used this occasion now in the month of coming up to Rosh Hashanah, and every year more and more women are coming for a Hannah's Prayer evening, which is also song, also a rabbinical speech, and also a outstanding woman rabbinical, or shall we say, spiritual speaker.
Very, very interesting, dating back to biblical times with the practices there in modern-day Shiloh. By the way, I guess I should say Chag Sameach and Shana Tova to you, Winky.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We all hope a very good, and as we also add sometimes, a sweet new year.
Amen. That's everybody's prayer. Jewish New Year, of course, Rosh Hashanah, which is this upcoming week. Well, let me take a moment, though, and go back then to some mundane political things, because I know earlier at the Menachem Begin Center in Jerusalem, which you are a very key component of, you held a conference and some people were gathered in to discuss the possibility that actually Jordan, the state of Jordan, a Arab country, is the Palestinian state, and that's where they ought to establish that state. Now, give me a quick resume of what did take place, and then we'll get to some specifics.
Well, very quickly, there's an organization here in Israel called Professors for a Strong Israel. One of the more unfortunate aspects of Israeli sectarian political a rivalry here in Israel is the push of the left that the right wing either has no option plans or they're not smart enough to think of one. And they are the ones who have all the wisdom and all the cultural values at their fingertips. Some of that also, I think, is a bit reflected around the world when liberals and conservatives sort of clash. And this organization has hundreds of professors, doctors, in all the fields of academic research, and they decided to hold at our venue, it wasn't actually sponsored by us, it just happened to be the address for them, a conference all day from about 9:30 in the morning to about 5 in the afternoon on the option of what is Jordan's role in being part of the solution of the Arab-Israel conflict.
So thus, then, this discussion carrying on, which, in essence, some of the thinking of previous political leaders in Israel that say, really, there is already a Palestinian state. It's on the eastern shore of the Jordan River. Now, is there any background from, say, for example, UN resolutions or decisions made in the past or declarations signed by other parties that may indicate that could be the case?
Well, I just want to quickly point out three things that people need in order to understand the thinking behind this option. First of all, the area that we now know as the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan was originally part of the Palestine Mandate that was supposed to be the Jewish national home. When it was finally decided in 1922, the British demanded that the eastern portions on the other side of the Jordan River would go to a recent Saudi Arabian arrival by the name of Abdullah. And he then eventually became king, and the state of Palace of Jordan, or Transjordan actually, was established in 1946. Funnily enough, the United States State Department, Jimmy, did not agree that Jordan be recognized as a member of the United Nations, because they said that original 22 decision was actually only temporary, and it depended on what would happen on the other side of the Jordan River, and that's why Jordan did not become part of the United Nations until after Israel was created. And so there is a link. And when we signed the peace treaty with Jordan back in 1994, we included a special article, number 9, if you want to check, that recognizes Jordan's historic role in the Islamic holy sites in Jerusalem. And so there is a link between Jordan and Jerusalem and peace and what we think should be the end result between Israel and the Arabs, who prefer to call themselves Palestinians.
Well, then, if that would be the case, and you moved ahead, or not you, that's an editorial you, if parties responsible for pulling this all together did move ahead and it was accomplished, what would they do with King Abdullah, who is the present king of Jordan today?
Well, actually, he would be strengthened, because he would have not a national, but a municipal autonomy, or you even want to call it confederation role, in that the Arabs wouldn't have to move. We're not talking about throwing Arabs out of their homes, but that their political expression would be in Transjordan, or the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, and therefore there would be no problem about the so-called democracy character of Israel. If we allow the Arabs to stay, they might, sort of throw us out of power. No, that would not be the case. Their political expression is Jordan. Educational links, economic links, religious links would be with Jordan. But the foreign affairs and the security aspects would be totally in the hands of Israel, west of the Jordan River.
Very interesting development. And let me ask you, bottom line, what's reality? Could this ever happen, or are they just talking about it?
Well, Jimmy, we've had a Muslim Brotherhood overthrow in Egypt. We've had Al-Qaeda, or what we call radical Islamist conflicts in Algeria, in Tunisia. The slaughter going on in Syria indicates that Jordan does not have a future unless it comes very close together with Israel, because they have a strong Muslim Brotherhood there, which has about 30% of the seats in his parliament. And if he lets up a bit, he can be in problems. So maybe he should rethink the situation of trying to find out how he and Israel could get together and make sure that his kingdom is not overthrown.
Yes, probably maybe the best alternative for King Abdullah as it relates to the future. Well, only time's going to tell what will indeed happen, but the discussion has begun, and I think that was part of the whole process there for this conference this last week, was it not, just to start to the discussion?
Absolutely. There is no reason why intellectuals, academics, or just plain ordinary citizens should think about the future of the country and the region in which they live. And I think this was a contribution in the direction of trying to eventually, if not bring peace, at least understanding and coexistence in this area.
You know, Winky, I'm not sure if you would agree with me or not, but I have a study that links two boys who were twins way back in the book of Genesis chapter 25, and that would be, of course, Jacob and Esau. And I see Esau being sent to Mount Seir, chapter 36 of the book of Genesis, which is the southern portion of modern-day Jordan today. And if indeed my study is correct, God would have his plan be fulfilled. That's where the people of the Edomites, the Esau descendants, the Palestinians today were supposed to go. That may be the case, but God's going to have his will anyway, isn't he not?
I believe so, and I think most of the events we've been discussing over the past few years, Jimmy, have been more in line with biblical precedent and vision rather than modern-day politics. So I think we should stick with the book as a guide and try to work out together with him and our capabilities as humans.
I love that phrase, stick with the book. I go along with that 100%. Winky, thank you so very much. Chag Sameach and Shana Tova, my dear friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your greetings and blessings, and goodbye to you and our listeners.